the place still a fortune. Well, I've been watching. What would I do if I could be free? I couldn't even watch you trip me up. That you break me into, and you throw me away, and you stay at my head. You trip me up.
Yes, hello and welcome to this episode 136 of the Extinctionati. And today we have a special guest all the way from Norway, who is called Svein Sørli. And we will get back to Svein after this. So, just to recap quickly the story of the Extinctionati and its relation to eco-activism. The context for what we'll be talking about with my friend Svein. It all started with Lord Yu reaching out to Extinction Rebellion UK and suggesting they think bigger and jam the system at a higher level, like mounting a financial strike of some form. Why block the road and annoy normal people when you can use precision higher up, right? Then we invited Derek Jensen and Lier from Deep Green Resistance and found common ground in saving the salmon, the river or the forest locally for as long as it takes till this industrial civilization collapses. But then there was also some talk about other forms of physical activities that would amount to accelerationism, that's making the system collapse faster. So after you died a year ago today, from a blood clot, the world changed again in many ways. For instance, the pipeline in the Baltic Sea was sabotaged, allegedly by the USA and Norway. And the USA allegedly also produced the virus and the pandemic, causing a much bigger stress to the world economy than an activist debt strike could have. And point by point has basically been proven that normies going about their normie lives, being normies, going to war, etc., is bringing the collapse closer much faster than anything activists could have ever instigated or accomplished. So all of this is to say that civilization does need help from... So all of this is to say that civilization doesn't need help from activists to collapse itself. Therefore, we should largely relax and enjoy our lives and not risk ending it in a prison cell. However, there is one important exception to this rule, and that is for the local Derek Jensen-style activism to save a river just until society has collapsed already. So that's the intro, and with me now I have Svein, and you have some news about one of those local actions, haven't you, from the deep forests in inland Norway. Can you tell us what happened there? And I read something about one entire family of wolves being being shot in 13 minutes or something on the national news in Norway. Are you able to unmute? Svein, can you press the audio symbol at the bottom of your screen so that you can speak again? Can you find the menu? We can't hear you. Do you think you can join again if I kick you out and you press the link you got from me again? Then you come back with the audio. I'll try to do that. That's amateur activist podcasting for you. Everything has to be worked out on the fly, and we need to improvise. Welcome. Hello. Yeah. So I asked you about what happened this week in Norway with the wolves and the wolf hunt. Hello? So can you test your microphone?
Det står at mikrofonen virka.
I can hear you. So just in English, please, about the wolf hunt.
Yes.
You're okay. Yeah.
Shot four wolves, the mother and the father, and two, and they show I think six or seven wolves, and they have one or two left. So they but they have to do it before the 15th of February, because then the hunt stops. So they are using flag close in.
You're breaking up a bit
because the wolves last night.
The technical transmission is a little bit bad. So you said they were using some markers to hunt the wolves. Can you repeat that?
Wolves with, because the wolves are afraid to cross that line, so they are in some kind enclosure them. So yeah. It's a very bad way to hunt. It's not hunting, it's killing.
So you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
No. It's a bad connection, I think.
Yeah.
Because it says all is working well, but...
Okay. Right. So, but there was also a news story about some Swedes who had the... come into the area.
You are also breaking up, so I couldn't hear what you said now.
Okay. There were some Swedish people who entered the forest. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. The Swedish and I think that was very great. I have also done that before, but I was asked not to do it, and I think that was sad, because I don't think we should be so nice when they are not nice at all. So I thank the Swedish hunt saboteurs, because they helped us over.
Yeah, and the way I understand it, the whole wolf campaign from the good guys' side, it's about pulling these wolves through. You know, the final years of this crazy system that we're living in, and in order to still have a wolf pack, you know, after Norway and Sweden and the EU and everything come crashing down, and I'm pretty sure that the wolves will bounce back.
Yes, but after this year's killings, we are down to between 20 and 20. They almost half of. If we just still lives just in Norway, we are down to. Lives in Norway and Sweden, and if we count them, maybe 60-70. They have, but you know, Kokahonka and the Juvberge was killed from Sweden, from Sweden's hunt earlier this year. And they also have a standing permission to kill Mangen, the pack in called pack. They have now, so if they're gonna kill them, and shoot them from the air with the pump shots, pump, yeah. Hagle.
Shotgun.
Next question. Shotgun, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Shoot. Yeah, so, you know, you and I, we were in a lavo. We were in one of these tents, right? And I'm not talking about that other story in a lavo because, you know, this is the internet. But... this is a family-friendly show. But, yeah, we were up in 2001, yeah. I think, 22 years ago, up in... what part of Norway was that? Hanestad or something? Is that the... Is that the Østerdalen?
Østerdalen.
Yeah, yeah. So that was...
Hedmark County.
Yeah, so that was a hunt sabotage project. It was a tiny organization made on the fly, basically, just to go up and go skiing and singing and scaring the wolves out of the way of the hunters. Yeah, good times. So what does the so-called Green Party and these guys, what do they do about the wolf hunt? You know, the wolf has been total protected since the 1970s.
They used helicopters and snowmobiles and shit and... We used dog sleds and we gave them and disturbed them from hunting. Managed to shoot anyone. So the state bad means because they wanted to win any prize for any prize. So
yeah. This, you know, my YouTube page says that the connection is excellent. I don't agree with them. I think it's very, very poor connection. So I'm not really sure what to do.
My image has frozen. So.
Yeah, I don't get an image from you at all. I just get your initials. So...
Okay. see an image of me, but it has frozen. So.
Right. I see an image of you sometimes. Maybe what we can do is that I can kick you out for a while, and then we try to connect. Let's say we connect at, what's that, 2030 your time? That's in 16 minutes. Then I will try to say something meaningful in the meantime. So I would just kick you out. It's nothing personal. Okay. Just try to get back with a better connection, hopefully, in 15 minutes. 15 yes. minutes? Yeah. That's, okay, bye for now.
That's quite all right. Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.
See ya.
Right. So that was fun. I tried to kick out my friend Svein, and I ended up kicking myself out instead. But yeah, that's the charm of anarchist media. So yeah, we're gonna get Svein back in 50 minutes. And in the meantime, I'm going to try to say something about this whole thing with activism and eco-activism and entrapment. Because, you know, if you look to America, you always look to America, and, you know, they have been caught in blowing up pipelines over in Europe. The Americans have, and also the Norwegians have helped in doing that. That's the nation of Norway. So that means their government and their military have helped, and also suggested where to attack Denmark and Sweden to blow up the pipeline to Germany. Risking the escalation, of course, again with Russia, because, you know, Russia can never get angry and take revenge at Norway. All kinds of bad decisions made by the government and using our tax money to blow stuff up. So, of course, for activists, this is kind of puzzling because, you know, a lot of activists actually do both think about and talk about and actually blow things up. Like in America, there's been the pipeline disputes in the Indian native country, oil and gas pipelines from Canada and the tar sands down to America, that kind of thing. And they've used sabotage against these pipelines. But these days we see the government itself taking over those basic concepts of blowing stuff up and even blowing up allied friendly countries' energy infrastructure. And I think it was Ursula von der Leyen, a German terrible person who is in charge of the EU Commission. She said back in September that, or October, short time after the pipelines were blown up, she said that we need to investigate this thoroughly, and then we need to find find out who did this, and then we would use the strongest response possible against those. So presumably this means that the EU will send nukes to Washington and Florida, and maybe even nuke Norway for voting no to join the Union, I don't know. Or for taking part in the sabotage, in the terror attack against the EU. I don't know. Who knows these days anyway, right? Because it all just happens, doesn't make sense. But as I was going to say, within the eco-activist movement, which I'm not a part of, I left that 6 or 7 years ago, trying to get my life together after being an activist my entire life, trying to do something else. So within the activist movement, there is and has always been an urge to do something. And this group, the Extinctionality, has been trying to work with Extinction Rebellion in the beginning, you know, not anymore, but you know, trying to work out things that might actually work and might actually get England and other countries into a better direction when it comes to saving the planet or whatever. And that's, you know, that's only the recent 5 years or so. But even before that, we had all kinds of activist camps trying to stop new motorways and all kinds of stuff, right? And even I have been to jail for trying to stop a motorway back in Norway, back in the Stone Age, right? So in this whole problematique, you have something called entrapment. And this is also kind of a US-American concept, where you have, there's a book called The Terror Factory, which details how ever since the 9/11 attacks in 2001, there's been loads and loads and loads of Muslim people charged and sentenced for terrorism in America. But these people were all entrapped by the FBI, which means that the FBI uses some friendly to FBI, Muslims or Arabs or whatever, and they hatch this terror plan, which didn't exist before the FBI, you know, made it up. And then they try to go onto the street or into the cafes or so something and try to recruit other Muslim people, you know, like young, angry men or whatever. And then they suggest that they go and buy this weapon or this, go and pick up this bomb or something from another FBI person, right? And then, long story short, in the end, the FBI jumps in and says, "Stop, freeze, FBI!" And then they lock away this guy for 20 or 30 years. And that's like 99% of every so-called terror plot that has gone down and gone to court in America has been that kind of entrapment case, where there wouldn't have been a terrorist, there wouldn't have been a terrorist attempt if it hadn't been for the feds, for the FBI themselves, plotting and making a program for what to do in that situation. You know, and maybe that's a good thing, you know, that could be discussed, that maybe they can then sort of vacuum every potential terrorist from the face of the earth by setting a trap for them, right? But I think they do it for other reasons, like keeping the budgets and politically feeding into the narrative of Muslims as evil, dangerous people, that kind of stuff, right? So the thing is, if you go over to England, there has been infiltration in the deep ecology movement and the eco-activist movement. There is some FBI, some MI5 agents have actually gone so far into the activist camps and activist movements that they have married and have kids with activists before they even know that they were government, they were MI5 agents infiltrating the eco movement. And, you know, that's, you know, they're going really far with this kind of thing. And basically, you know, if you're going to go on the internet and talk about activism, which I think we should, absolutely, I think we should talk about activism and ways to, you know, steer the civilization in a different direction and stuff, right? Because, you know, let's face it, the politicians are never going to do it anyway. That's like 99.99999% of experience, human experience with politicians. They're not going to save the natural environment. That's an absolute, that's a 100% safe bet, right? So if you're going to go on the internet and talk about activism, the type of activism you're going to do, you're going to be talking about, basically, you don't want to entrap yourself, and you absolutely don't want to be entrapped by other people, like be entrapped by me or, you know, other people in your group, other people who are, you know, maybe draw a paycheck from one of these agencies, right? So that the government can say that, yeah, we spend a lot of money on environment every year, only they're spending it on getting environmental activists arrested even before they've even done anything, right? So yeah, so I think it's good to say that for our little group, our little cult, we have the strongest ally, the strongest force in the world, which is Gaia herself, the living planet, embodied spiritually in the shape of the goddess Gaia, and she is going to see us through this. She is going to end civilization super, super fast, and there's very, very little that we can add to her pure and rage and her speed of going at her and going about her business. And if you're going to talk about humans helping her, ironically, those humans will be people like Joe Biden, people like Putin, people like Ursula von der Leyen, people like Klaus Schwab, you know, setting about to create this wonderful fantasy world, net zero future, which is only going to result in more mining and more industrial, more years of industrial civilization, and basically depleting the planet even more. But, you know, in doing so, in chasing that carrot, they are also going to ensure that civilization collapses in different ways. We don't know, we can't know all the ways that they're going to promote collapse. But what I don't think they're doing, I don't think they're intentionally trying to do that, because I do think they are fooling themselves, believing their own lies, and for sure trying to enrich themselves and giving themselves a golden parachute, you know, a good retirement salary of many millions of euros and stuff. but I think that they're basically going to just like all every other human being who is not an activist, they're going to fly here and there, they're going to emit more and more, and they're going to define the natural gas as green and ecological and sustainable. And the net sum of all of these things is that they are basically going to secure the collapse of their system so that you get a new blooming of the natural world, because the cities are gone and the industry is gone, and let's face it, a lot of people will also be gone, because that is a part of what the civilization collapse means. There's sadly no way to end the system without people losing their support in many ways. So try to stay clear of entrapment. Try to not go into any sort of government trap, because you will want to be alive, you will want to be free, you will want to be out and about and reconnect with nature and, you know, learn some skills to survive and fish and hunt, and you will basically, you will want to be present for this once in a civilization, once in a lifetime kind of event, where it all comes crashing down after, yeah, maybe 10,000-12,000 years in this latest patch of civilization, where before, maybe during the Ice Age, there was also a civilization that was brought to an end. I don't know if it was by divine intervention. There was some kind of comet crashing on the ice of the Ice Age and starting all kinds of floods and fires and everything. So civilization basically collapsed for thousands of years, and then it came crawling back. So, okay, we'll try to go back and see if we can connect with Svein again. Just hang on. Right. Yay! Ah, much better.
Hello.
Hello. So let's see if you can talk without technical interruptions.
Yes. I'm going to turn down the television. So.
Yeah, do that.
Better now.
Much better. So, yes. Yeah, can you tell us about these Swedish activists in detail? What have they actually done?
Yeah, it's the Swedish Hunt Saboteurs. They have a group in Norway now, and They tore down some kilometers with the flag line and they burned it. And the boss for the hunters says they have more, so they shall just put it up again. But I said that will also burn. And the flag lines are produced in Russia, so they won't get any more new supplies. So it's very, very good that they burn as much of it as they can. So maybe they will have to sow it themselves. And I don't think they're going to do that.
And these activists also came forth and took credit for the action, didn't they?
Yes, yes. They put it out on their website, Swedish Hunt Saboteurs, or Hunt Saboteurs Sweden is the name you should seek if you want to look at it. They took the claim for it, and I support them very, very much. I think it's very great that they did it.
Yeah, so then maybe they can get at least these local groups of wolves to get through this phase of the hunting season anyway. Is there a hunting season for wolves in Norway, being totally protected and all? Do they hunt every year?
In the wolf zone, as they call it, it's about 5% of the country. It's from 1st of January to 15th February. But in the rest of the country, it's from 1st of December to 31st of May. So it's 6 months in the rest of the year. And also, if it's enough now to see a print of a wolf paw in the ground, and then you get a license to shoot them because they are there, or they think they are there. So,
how does this license to kill and hunting season every year, how does that harmonize with totalvern, total protection for the wolf species?
Not at all. The wolf are not protected in Norway. It was until early 90s. But when the wolf started to come back, the government started to shoot them. So the wolf is not protected in Norway. Not at all.
That's quite disgusting, I think. And, I think Norwegian politicians are flying all across the planet telling people to protect the tigers and lions and elephants and all kinds of things, but not at home, I guess.
No. Our environment minister, Espen Barth Eide, he likes to go around the world and say, Norway's gonna do this and do that and save for saving the planet and all the endangered species and all that. But when he comes home to Norway, the first thing he do is to start killing endangered species. And now he has also allowed to build a big motorway through a nature reserve in Lillehammer. So he's full of shit, bullshit.
And what do we do as as activists, or at least people who care about the ecology? What do we do when the entire elite, the entire national elite, I like that, they're just a piece of crap politicians, as I call them. What do we do with that?
We have to vote wiser, and we have to go to the shop and buy some chains, I think, because it's been all too long since we had the last chain gang. And we cannot tolerate this, but also the most important thing is, I think, to kick out Arbeiderpartiet and Senterpartiet from the government and get a new, more environmentally friendly government.
Yeah, but that's kind of hard, isn't it? Because at least the center party, they are shooting the wolves exactly because they want to become more popular in the areas, and the Labour Party are just vatnisse, whatever that is in English. They're just they don't have any principles at all. They're all about lying and having power. So I think the big problem is that doing stupid shit is popular, right? The way I see it, anyway, you can't really get social change by voting, because the most stupid stuff is always popular.
Yeah, I know. But the Center Party and the Labour Party, they are dropping like stones in the votings here in Norway now. So I don't think they are going to survive the next election for government. So I know Arbeiderpartiet, Labour Party, is now at 16%, and Senterpartiet is at 5%. I am hoping it's going to be a change, but it's not enough. We have to start now, and we have to do drastic measures to stop this destroying of nature and wildlife as we are seeing now, because Senterpartiet, they have in their program that they will not have any wolves in Norway. So their goal is to exterminate all of them. And they are, sorry to say, but they are almost getting there now.
Yeah, but their approval rating of 5% and 16% for the two parties, that's pretty low. Yeah. And while you were out for the technical problems, I talked about Seymour Hersh, the world's most prized and trusted journalist of all times. He got a Pulitzer Prize the year before I was even born, in 1970, for revealing the My Lai massacre over in the Vietnam War. He's now blaming America and Norway for bombing that pipeline, the Nord Stream pipelines, down in the Baltic Sea, in Swedish waters and in Danish waters. So do you think the revelations that Norway did a state terrorist action against an ally, against Germany, on the Nordic territory, do you think that is going to contribute to getting these nature killers out of government? Please say yes.
I haven't thought about it. I'm not sure if I believe that Norway had to do with this bombing, but I wouldn't be surprised. So I don't know what I should answer to that, actually, because it came a little I don't know what the word is, but I have problem with thinking that Norway did that, but I don't know.
I think of course they didn't do it on initiative. There's more like they're part of the NATO, and big uncle America says, "Hey, want to go and do some fun and blow some stuff up?" And then I think Norway, the military leadership in Norway just said, "Yeah, how high do you want us to jump?" I think it's more that kind of situation, right? And go out, like going out.
I guess it could have been something like that, and. You say jump, I say ho high. So it could be, but in the papers in Norway now, the military and the government, they are all saying this is bullshit. But what else could you expect?
Yeah, but that's like, Seymour Hersh, investigative journalist, he's gotten like 6 major journalist prizes for his revelations over the decades, over the century, actually. The CIA always says when he publishes his stuff?
It's not true.
Bullshit! We never did that. Yeah, I never heard about Vietnam. Where is Vietnam? We know nothing, right?
Is it in Europe? Yeah, I know. That's the answer they always give. So I don't trust the Norwegian government. I think they can do a lot of bullshit and lie about it. So it's possible, but I don't know. I don't have a clue about that. Shit, but
so what happens if Centre Party and Labour are forced out of the government in shame for being terrorists? What happens? What kind of new government can you get in Norway?
As it looks like now, it's Høyre. I don't know what that is in English. Right.
Conservatives,
yes. They are at double as big as the Labour's. That's not good either. I was hoping for Socialist Left Party and Venstre Left Party. And I'm also not against the Environmental Party, the Green.
But the Greens are really, the most crazy party in Europe right now is the German Greens, the Grünen, because they are gung-ho against sending warplanes and tanks against Russia. And I think actually Annalisa, whatever her name is, she actually had a celebration party after the pipeline was blown up in the Baltic Sea, so that they're clearly crazy. They've gone completely crazy in the Green Party, and I don't think the Norwegian sister party is any better. It was during Anna-Lena of the Green Party, during her reign in government, that Germany reopened their coal-fired power stations because that's part of the net zero green climate bullshit.
Yeah, it was because of Russia shutting down the oil and gas. They didn't have any. And Norway couldn't supply enough, so that's why they started up the coal mines again, I think. But
yeah, but the militarism.
I agree. The green parties are a little bit crazy in some things they are doing. I agree in that.
But there are other ways to direct a nation. I think you know, if you look at politics or like you know, direction or administration of society in general as a, you know, larger topic, then I believe that ordinary people, you and I, we are sort of lured into thinking that all of that is only about picking between three or four or five parties, and that's kind of a very reductionist way of thinking that, oh yeah, so we need to use the most stupid mechanism where people are only sort of lying and posing for popularity. You know, they made us think that, okay, so this is how you get wise leadership in a crisis situation. I think we need to talk about, you know, civil resistance, all kinds of other ways to, like England. In England, they've been known for having long-term, multi-year campaigns where they basically build cabins up in the trees, up in the oak trees, and have permanent anti-road camps and stuff. Yes. And really, really putting pressure on the government and physically stopping it, right?
Yes,
in a peaceful way, of course.
I totally agree. That what we were doing in Atnadalen in 2001. We stopped them from killing the wolves then, but they started to using helicopters, and then we were kind of helpless. Also in Lillehammer now, the OL city, they are going to build a highway through the nature reserve, and I have already started to look for chains. We are planning to get a chain gang going to stop that motorway through the nature reserve. So we have to take direct actions to stop this brutal assault against our nature. We have to do it.
Absolutely. I was just reminded that I've talked about you on this show earlier because you were on the Siste Sjanse, the Last Chance program, you know, registering rare species out in the wilderness in Norway, in the forests.
Yes.
And what I mentioned was the absurd situation when you came down after work and went to a cafe and you were confiscated or arrested or whatever because you had a tool of your work in your bag or whatever.
Yeah.
You had a scout knife or whatever, spider
knife. Yeah. that's true.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. But I have been arrested many times because they think I have something dangerous or something, but I never do. So, yeah, I always been peaceful. So, and I am against everyone who is not peaceful. You have to do it peacefully. So.
Yeah, you could talk about a crazy society, you know, I think one or two years after your episode there on the cafe. Me and my girlfriend by then, Steve, we were hitchhiking to and from the mountains to go hiking or something. And we got a hike with we got a hike with somebody who was a construction worker, or he rigged the scenes for concerts for bands, you know, like at the festivals and stuff. And he told us that he was actually fined and got his Leatherman confiscated. You know, Leatherman is these modern folding knives, right? With all kinds of tools. So he used a Leatherman to attach, duct tape or whatever, and cut tape and release cables from the tape or whatever, all kinds of things that you need a Leatherman for in his work. And he was like, you know, maybe twice or three times a week, and the police would show up and take away his work tool and give him a fucking fine just for doing his job. That is just crazy. I was also thinking that maybe to the American audience, a chain gang is, I think, it's something from the civil rights or from the slavery from the 1700s, 1800s or something. So in Norway, anyway, a chain gang within eco-activist context is like, at the famous Alta, the anti-dam, anti-hydropower action, people would sit in 20 degrees minus Celsius and chain together to make it harder for police to remove them. And I think they also did that at Mardøla, which is another hydropower battle, which is very famous because our deep ecology professor of philosophy, Arne Næss, was there together with, all of these famous eco-philosophers. So a chain gang is not somebody from jail or from a plantation. It's normal people doing the good thing to save the environment, right?
We also did that here when they were tearing up the railway who went through this valley. We chained me and many friends and nature and youth. We chained us to the car who has the gas blower they used to burn down and cut the railway up. So I have been in a chain gang more than once, and also when they was cutting down old growth forest, we didn't just change them, but we entangled in each other, and the cops had to carry us like a kilometer in the snow, and it was 1.5 meter with snow, so the cops were so tired. That was cool, but we got 5,000 kroner in fine, every one of us.
Yeah, and it now, reminds me.
The area is protected.
Oh, great! Yeah, yes. I was in a chain gang, as you call it, once down in Østfold, down by the Swedish border. There was an anti-motorway action. They constructed a new motorway, and I think this day I'm thinking of. I was chained to the grab of a digger. You call it a grab? The digging, the utter digging thing, the grab itself. So I was chained to that, and then I was cut loose using some kind of some kind of power tool that cut through my chains, you know, my thick chains. And then I was walked away by the police to a holding car. And the funny thing is that I saw another guy who was put into a police holding car, who was one of the activists, right? So he was put into the car in the back seat. And while I was being walked past him, I saw him just jump out the police car on the other side and run into freedom. These amateur police, right?
So, yeah.
Lots of fun. Many memories, right?
Oh, yes. Lots of memories.
Okay. Yeah, this way it's been fun. Maybe we should... borrow you for another show at the later stage. Maybe there is some development in the wolf or the nature protection area action scene over the spring or late winter. Yeah. So how long did you say? 15th of March, is that when 15th they stopped
of March
hunting?
Yeah, they have 3 days now. 3 days.
Okay.
So
I don't think
they are going to kill Mangen, because that would have been a little short time now, I guess. But without the wolf zone, they can kill them until the 31 of May. So they have good time there. But okay. There isn't any wolves almost outside the zone, so that's just they shoot a wolf there and they shoot a wolf there, but that's not some thing we have possible options to stop, because that's so
Scattered, isn't it?
Scattered, yes.
Yeah. So in our huge audience, I know we have a lot of millionaires and billionaires listening in America and Europe and even over in Asia. So if you sit there, if you're somebody who sit there with a huge bag of money and I have no idea how to support these poor activists in Sweden and Norway, is there any way they can donate money or in other ways help their finances?
Yes, they can donate money to NOAH, yeah. NOAH .no. I don't know if that's the address, but NOAH for Dyrs Rettigheter, and yeah. Of course, the World Wide Fund Norway and Foreningen Våre Rovdyr. I don't know the English words for those, but
no, but that's okay. But you also you mentioned that this Swedish Hunt Saboteur thing was getting a Norwegian branch. Is that right?
Yes, they have a site on Facebook.
Okay, cool.
Hunt Saboteur Sweden, and also Aksjon Rovviltets Røst have a website. I think you maybe can put out the links to them. You are an IT genius.
Yeah, yeah, right. Maybe sometime in my long forgotten past. Yeah, but maybe you can if you can send me like the five best links to organizations that people could support, then I can put them on the show notes for this episode.
Yes.
And
I can send them to you. Yes.
Super. Okay. Thank you very much. It has been wonderful to have you on. And let's hope that the technology works better the next time, because that was totally not your fault or even my fault. That was just the internet being itself. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. So yeah. It was great to be here and try in my bad English to speak with you.
I think your bad English is way better than to listen to Norwegian politicians, because then I lose my lunch, I lose the contents of my stomach every time I listen to that. So, thank you for being an activist, and keep doing whatever you're doing, because what else can we do, right?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.